The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Friday edition, a happier happy hour. Rolling into it with your grievances, 844-967-2789. Dom, I wanted to start the hour. Oh, yeah, Joe Walsh, former Republican congressman and Republican presidential candidate in 2020 against Donald Trump. Never Trumper, friend of mine. I'll introduce you, Dom. Joe Walsh joining us at 5:30. Stick around for him.
Was he a presidential candidate like you were a gubernatorial candidate, Curdy? I mean, how did that all pan out for Joe?
Well, it's not President Joe Walsh, so not as well as he would hoped. But Trump didn't win, so, you know, he'd like to think he did his part, I suspect.
All right.
Down a lighter note, in the Manhattan criminal trial of Donald Trump, laughter from the courtroom. It is being reported. Laughter erupted in Manhattan criminal court as prosecutors in the former president Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial read a now infamous tweet.
If anyone is looking for a good lawyer, I would strongly suggest that you don't retain the services of Michael Cohen.
That's the report Friday morning that CNN analysts Caitlin Collins and Paula Reed, who discuss what role the former president's own words, particularly when it comes to Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's star witness, will play in the court. The analyst suggested Trump's social media messages, particularly April 21st, 2018 tweets, and another on August 22nd of 2018, could present the jury with a living document detailing the complex relationship between the former president and Cohen, his longtime fixer. Damn, I need a fixer. Initially, when everything was happening to Michael Cohen, Donald Trump was saying,
I'm worried about him. I'm not worried about him. He'd never flip,
Collins said. To see the total 180 that relationship has done is so remarkable to me. The tweets become especially relevant if Trump opts not to take the stand, as according to Reed, his testimony would decide the case. Yes, I suspect if Trump gets on the stand, it will decide the case against him. Depending on what evidence Justice Juan Merchan allows in the courtroom, the narrative may be told via social media instead. Particularly telling, Dom, tweets from April 21st, 2018, in which Trump avows faith in Cohen's loyalty.
Most people will flip if the government lets them out of trouble. Sorry, I don't see Michael doing that despite the horrible witch hunt and dishonest media.
You know, when Trump continually refers to his attorney as flipping, doesn't that in some way admit to the wrongdoing that was going on? I mean, if you're not doing anything wrong, there's nothing really to flip on, right? I'm just saying, man.
The guy's always run his corporation like a mobster, Dom. You never flip on the boss. That's his attitude, I suspect. Anyways, it's interesting. Years later, Trump's sudden shift spurred laughter in the courtroom when his tweet warning would-be clients away from Cohen was read aloud. A little more commentary from the Raw story, my source, Dom. Caitlin Collins said, the irony of that is Donald Trump retained Michael Cohen's services for decades. And it's precisely why we're sitting here outside the courtroom right now.
well, not you and I per se, Dom, but Cohen supposed to take the stand on Monday. And here's the problem. You and I won't be here. Probably. You're going to be gone for sure-sies. I have some non-radio work to take care of. You, I understand you're just, what, taking a European vacation, as one does in mid-May.
Holiday road, baby. Yes, my mother-in-law turns 80, and my lovely wife and my brother-in-laws, we're going to take Emma out to Ireland. She hasn't been. We're going to go as a family. It's going to be a great trip. I look forward to check it out and drinking some Irish whiskey, man.
You got a great mother-in-law. Yeah, what a great Mother's Day gift to her.
Right? Her kids spoil her. She spoils us, so it's all good.
Certainly she has. The fact she even tolerates you is really,
I know,
extremely,
you know,
she's generous of her character.
Instrumental in my growth as a human being. Thank you, Emma.
I really haven't seen it.
It's not just going. I'm wondering, the AP has reported that there's the prosecutor's going to call two witnesses yet. Two more. Then they're going to wrap it up. It's not going to be the playmate. They made that determination, said that in court. We know it's going to be Cohen. And I'm seeing, I don't know, like pictures of Weisselberg popping up on the cable news. I wonder, is there any chance you think that somehow, some way, they'd pull Weisselberg out of Rikers to bring him in?
My understanding is no. They've already set him aside as a witness now.
Oh, they did. Okay.
I know, but that was my understanding. He was not on the prospective witness list.
Okay. All right. So we're still wondering who the second witness will be next week besides Cohen.
Well, it could be some character from the Trump org, someone from the U.S. Postal Service. I mean, hell, they've had people from the book publisher because the Trump defense will not stipulate any aspect. There are no stipulated facts in this case. In most cases, my understanding, I'm not a lawyer, Dom, but I've watched a lot of Perry Mason, and there are generally some stipulated facts. Like, we can all agree on these things. Trump's having none of it. That's why we have someone reading tweets aloud and reading passages from books and confirming the delivery of checks to the White House, but not directly to the White House. They are sent to the personal residence of Keith Schiller. That's the body guy who then delivers them, according to the testimony of the Westerhout, delivers them to the White House, where Donald Trump would personally sign them, put them back in a FedEx, despite the fact when elected president, he told the nation he would divest from his company. But so clearly the evidence we're hearing in court, if nothing else, it contradicts what he told the American people he would do, Dom.
Yeah,
he's so twisted. His personal and public life, yes, as the president, yeah, were all, yes, intertwined.
And. Yes, and. I mean, the guy's blown every norm out of the water since he came down the golden escalator. Yes, and what? Once you try to overthrow the government, everything else kind of just pales in comparison. Crudy, let me throw this out there in regards to Weisselberg, CNN reporting. Prosecutor Chris Conroy says they want to submit Alan Weisselberg's severance agreement from the Trump Organization into evidence. The defense, they objected. He is an uncalled government witness, Trump attorney Emil Bove said of Weisselberg, saying the prosecution's theory that he conspired with Cohen and gave instructions to McConaughey. Weisselberg's absence from this trial is a very complicated issue, Bove says. He
perjured himself at the last trial he appeared at as a defense witness for Trump and got his ass thrown back in jail for a second time. That complicates the testimony.
Yeah, it does. He's in prison right now and not available to anyone, Bove said. Now, isn't that ironic? He also said the severance agreement is unduly prejudicial. He argued there would be undue prejudice to the jury to admit the severance agreement, saying it's unduly confusing because Weisselberg is in prison. If either side tried to call him, he would likely invoke his Fifth Amendment, Bove said. I don't think it's relevant that he entered into this agreement after the fact, he said. The prosecutor weighed in, saying, what we are looking to do is explain from our perspective why he's not here. Mr. Weisselberg's interests are aligned with the defendants, Conroy said. The agreement includes provisions for Weisselberg not to disparage the company or its officers and employees. Prosecutor says he imagines the defense will make arguments about whether he should have been here and what him not being here means. Prosecutor says they have not attempted to compel Weisselberg's testimony. Mershon, the judge, says, I think it would be helpful to me in making my decision if I could see that some efforts were taken to compel his appearance. He then suggested that perhaps he show up, suggested former Weisselberg be brought in to take the stand outside the presence of the jury and see if he would testify or assert the Fifth Amendment. Right now, we're speculating, Mershon says. Judge said he would like to know what Weisselberg won't testify, that he won't testify, even if compelled, before he will rule on whether the severance agreement is admissible under the rules of evidence. So the severance agreement, the fact that Trump Organization is still paying Weisselberg, compensating him for lying on the stand twice and Trump's to Trump's benefit, I'm not clear how that holds up, but that the Weisselberg do. So perhaps he'll come in outside of the jury and they'll figure it out.
How do you give testimony outside of the jury's purview? That's the whole point of having the jury hear the testimony, is it not?
But they're suggesting that perhaps he'll take the Fifth, and he wants to know if he take the Fifth before he rules on whether or not this severance agreement is admissible under the rules of evidence.
Hmm.
So that's the Weisselberg update. Wondering why that was. 844-967-2789. So if Weisselberg isn't the other witness, and we still have one witness, we're not clear. Again, you're right. It could be a bookkeeper sort, an administrator type, but certainly Cohen is expected to testify on Monday.
Will Trump attend his son's graduation next week? A week from today, it'll be a momentous occasion. The youngest Trump child that we know of will be graduating from high school.
That we know of.
And
I like how you put that.
Trump will be apparently dining in Minnesota. Three ends in the dinner announcement dining. From the GOP party of the great state of Minnesota. They think Minnesota's in play. So if you got to miss your kid's graduation, despite what you told the judge and the people, Dom.
Yeah, oh well. Update on young Barron. Quote, while Barron is honored to have been chosen as a delegate by the Florida Republican Party, he regretfully declines to participate due to prior commitments. The office of former First Lady Melania Trump confirmed in a statement to the Daily Mail today.
Mama said Barron. No. Mama Barron. Mama says
no. Hell no. Hell to the no. No Barron as a delegate in Milwaukee. Is he still going to come? Is Melania going to come? The whole family going to walk on stage? How's that going to play?
We were there the last time they did. 2016. Cleveland Quicken Loan Stadium. What a show.
Indeed.
Come back, more Devils. It's a great show. Especially when you air your grievances. 844-96-PARTY.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all. Airing of the grievances, 844-967-2789, talk or text.
Dom, I have confirmed we got fine guests joining at 5:30. He is Joe Walsh, former Republican congressman, current anti-Trumper. I like Joe. You'll like Joe. Believe me, he's worth a listen. 844-967-2789. If you've got a grievance to air, now would be an excellent time. Going to David from Colgate. Is that somewhere near Crest, David?
Hey, David.
Yes, hello.
Hey, David. Welcome to the show.
Yes, hi. Thank you. We were just west of Germantown.
I was teasing. That was like a toothpaste joke, David.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't catch it.
No, no one did. No one thought it was funny. It wasn't just you, David.
It wasn't good. Wasn't good, David. No worries.
I regretted it nearly before I said it, David, but welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I just wanted to call and let you know. I'm on my way home from work. Every once in a while, I'll put on your station. And it's unbelievable how after a certain amount of time, I usually give it about 30 seconds, Trump's name comes up. And I kind of joke with my kids that I bet we'll have like an ongoing joke. I bet you within 45 seconds or 30 seconds, they're going to start talking about Trump. And I just feel like there's so many things going on in our country that are much more important than talking about Trump all the time.
David, what would you have us speak on?
Well, I would have you speak on the economy, the border, or the lack thereof, down in the southern border. I would also like to hear your opinion on Joe Biden's failure to speak the truth when it comes to inflation.
Joe Biden was politifacted false on a statement about inflation. Joe Biden was in the state of Wisconsin this week to tout the bipartisan bill that helped bring the investment, private investment, $3.3 billion from Microsoft to the Foxconn area down in southeastern Wisconsin. David, that is a completely different outcome than what Donald Trump promised us in Scott Walker. I know you don't like when I bring up Donald Trump, but the last guy had some policies too. And mostly they were lying to the American people, David.
Well, I just feel like when I put on your station, I'm just a little bit angry about how we're always talking about how bad of a person Trump is. But when it comes down to it, it's about what's for the country and the policies. It's about the policy and not so much about the character.
But the guy's at trial because of his character, sir. That's why we're talking about Trump. He's at trial currently, sir.
Well, and David, if I may, lots of folks, and we read an opinion piece from Paul Fanlon, I believe, in the Capital Times out of Madison today, David. If Trump wins, nothing else mattered. The guy has told us he'll be a dictator on day one. He's expressed dictatorial tendencies, let's call it, David.
Mass deportations
is very, very dangerous for this country. And if you're a person who believes a guy like Donald Trump is dangerous for the country, then we have to talk about it, David. We got to talk about it. And I want to convince you, Dave, that Trump is a terrible human being, sure, but he's also terrible for this country, David. Now, I want to get your sense.
And how so? And how so?
Well, he tried to overthrow the government. Do we need to talk beyond that? Let's talk about that for a minute. Do you believe Donald Trump was let's talk about overthrowing the government. The border doesn't matter if we don't have a country, right? Isn't that what you say? You can't have a country without borders, right? Well, you can't have a country without the peaceful transfer of power, David. The guy lost an election. He created a conspiracy using the swing states in the state of Wisconsin as well to put out false electors. He called people, the mob, to Washington and set them ablaze. And for 3 hours, let them attack the Capitol to stop the peaceful transfer of power. So in some way, somehow, he could retain power. David, I can't even talk policy until we address that thing. What's your sense of his responsibility and comeuppance? What should happen to Donald Trump, David? What's your position on the overthrowing of the government, the attempted insurrection, the January 6th, David? That's the important thing to me. What's important to you? Address that, if you would, please, sir.
Well, I'm concerned about our economy and the state of our country.
David, I'm going to ask you one more time. I want to know your opinion. I know you said the economy and the state of our country and the border. I'm talking about specifically January 6th and the insurrection. I want to know what you stand on that, David. You go.
Yes, I'm very concerned about our country with our border and with our gas prices. And when
Let's talk about the insurrection, David. Talk about the insurrection, David. I'm going to give you one last chance. The insurrection, David.
For the insurrection, it wasn't a concern for me.
Okay. Well, David, we're less concerned about your distaste with Joe Biden. The country has certainly been less chaotic. If it's just simply the fact that Biden doesn't have a Twitter account and he doesn't have an enemies list, it's been a less chaotic country under the governance of Joe Biden. I would say the border, while I'd certainly like to see a solution, I think the U.S. Senate actually had a solution. It was a bipartisan plan. And Donald Trump, who I hate to bring up in your presence, sir, called his friends like MAGA Mike Johnson over in the House and said, kill it. Do not pass meaningful legislation in a bipartisan fashion. Don't give Joe Biden the victory during the election year. David, can you speak to that? Should he have stayed out of it? Should MAGA Mike Johnson, should
the Republicans in the House go along and sign off on this bill and put it on the desk of Joe Biden, because I guarantee he'd sign it, sir.
Yes, I'm concerned about our border. If it requires putting
then pressure your Congress people to tell Mike Johnson to bring this legislation to the floor and let's start solving problems. But the House Republicans, David, we don't control the House. That's your body. That's your guy that's influencing the outcomes. Do you understand? We'd love to talk policy with you, David, but your guy keeps getting in the way. David, thank you for listening. Please consider giving us another call. We're out of time at this juncture. We got a fine guest joining us next. He is Joe Walsh, former Republican congressman. David, I hate to admit he's pretty anti-Trump, but you should keep listening. You know, we'll talk border policy, maybe. More devil's advocates. Everybody's welcome. You know, just some have bettering opinions and takes than others. Dobbs is worse than mine.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday Happier Happy Hour rolling through it down. We got a fine guest. He's joined live via stream, Chicago's very own Joe Walsh, former Republican congressman, former Republican presidential candidate against Trump in 2020, if memory serves. Joe's been far too long. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Joe.
Good to be with you two. Yeah, that was the stupidest thing I ever did, challenging Trump for the presidency. Hello.
Joe, how many death threats do you think you got? Did you quit counting after a while?
I did. You quit counting after like a week. You know, we laugh about it, but as a Republican, to publicly take him on, you literally put your life on the line.
Doesn't that seem a little outrageous, Joe? I mean, you know what I mean? That seems out there, doesn't it?
It's out there, but look, there's ugliness on all sides, but my former side is especially dangerous right now. Because, yeah, it's, you guys have probably said it, I've said it. My former party's become like a cult, and you cannot go after that cult leader.
Now, Joe Walsh, we have accused former rhinos and squishes like Paul Ryan and even Mike Gallagher, who recently retired, resigned, left the Congress. But these guys never seemingly stay and fight the fight when they could have had impact, Joe. These tax cut Republicans just, they walk off to go cash checks and spend time with family, but they don't stay and ever fight against Trump, Joe. And you obviously took a different route.
Well, and again, you and I, if we talked about tax cuts, we'd probably disagree because I'm a pretty big tax cut guy. But to your other point, you're right. I served with Paul Ryan. He's a coward. I don't say that lightly. Paul Ryan has known from the beginning who Trump is, but he's been afraid for years to say publicly what people like me say. I've got no patience with that. At all. I mean, Ryan came out this past week and finally said, I'm not going to vote for Trump, but yet he won't vote for the one guy who can beat Trump, which is Joe Biden. It makes no sense to me.
Now, Joe Walsh, I noted on Twitter, we follow you on Twitter. I noted you're not blindly following like Dom is. Dom's like, I don't care if it's weekend at Bernie's. I think the Second Amendment, you said, if Joe Biden tried to throw out my Second Amendment rights, well, I'm not going to blindly vote for Joe Biden, but at this stage, clearly you're not voting for the other guy.
No, look, I've been public for 5 years now that I will vote for whoever the Democratic nominee is, because I believe Trump's an existential threat to our democracy. That was an interesting exchange, though, because there are a bunch of never Trumpers who won't vote for Trump, but they won't vote for Biden.
No.
I'm very pro-Israel. If Biden came out tomorrow and said, I stand with Hamas, I won't support Israel, that won't happen. But if he said that, I couldn't support Biden. I mean, I think we all have a red line with any politician, but no, I don't expect Biden to cross my red line. So I'm all in with Biden.
Joe Walsh, our fine guest, former Republican congressman, he ran against Donald Trump. Joe, I've been a little concerned about at least the optics of what's happening on the college campuses, these pro-Palestinian protests. And we see polling. It's not a driving issue, even for a large percentage of young people, but it only takes a couple hundred vocal people to get on the camera and lead on Fox News each and every night. And this seemingly, if Fox News tells it, is indicative of the chaos under Joe Biden's presidency. My fear, Joe Walsh, is it's going to somehow affect the elective outcome. People are going to buy into that narrative and find themselves swing voters, independents voting for Donald Trump. I'm a little nervous about that aspect of the election, Joe.
My friend, you ought to be nervous because it's going to help Trump. Look, and I did this when I did conservative talk radio. Yeah, right-wing voices like mine are going to demagogue the crap out of this issue. Understood. And it's not going to really impact young voters. But it's not just the MAGA base. Most Americans, when we are in times of unrest or chaos or disruption or rioting or whatever, they want more law and order. And they turn to Republicans because Democrats can often not be firm enough on this stuff. And Republicans will demagogue the crap out of it. So this will help Trump. It really will.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Former Republican Congressman Joe Walsh joining us. Joe, pleasure to make your acquaintance. I want to get your sense. My impression of the GOP, the Republican Party, when I was growing up was, you know, fiscal conservatism, family values, you know, those kinds of things. And in the Trump era, those things have seemed to have been cast aside for a more Christian, white Christian nationalist attitude. Joe, you've been around a long time, man, and also a member of that former party. What's your sense? I am a cynical guy, Joe. I'm wondering if these things were actually true core beliefs of the GOP. How do you cast aside something so quickly in the face of the cult leader? Do they actually believe it, or have they been, you know, poisoned by the madness?
You know, I think most of my former colleagues in Congress, Republican, most of them don't believe the really crazy stuff, but they don't want to lose their gig, so they keep their mouths shut. But the percentage of crazies, like true believers, it's growing.
Yeah.
So maybe it's 55 cynical, 45 true believers. Jim Jordan and I served together in Congress. Don't get mad at me, you two. He and I used to be best friends. He's a true believer. He believes this stuff. So I worry that too many Americans don't understand that this MAGA mentality is much more pervasive in the party than people think.
So a guy like Jim Jordan, then a fiscal conservative, I'm obviously. Trump had added $8 trillion to the debt, along with Dems as well. I get that. Family values. I mean, we don't need to go any further. So were those things then not core beliefs? Because how could you possibly go for a guy like Trump if those are core beliefs? That's where I'm getting at. Where does that fall?
Here's where it falls. Jim Jordan gets down on his knees every night and prays to his God for forgiveness. Guaranteed. That's what Mike Pence did every night in the White House. He prayed for forgiveness. Lord, I know I'm supporting this sinner. I know he's a bad man. I know he's bad for the country, but keep us in power because I could be president one day. Jim Jordan does the same thing. A lot of these guys do. It makes me sick. There's real hypocrites there, yeah. But this is what they do. I couldn't live like that. I just couldn't.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates. Our fine guest, Joe Walsh, former congressman, radio dog. I like you, Joe. January 6, 2021. Everything else sort of fades away for me. This is the only crime that I want to see a trial about. This is the only thing that I think the American people deserve justice over. And certainly it. Joe, what's your opinion of the January 6th and how instrumental that should be in this, obviously, an elective year?
I'll start like this, guys. I hate Trump. I believe
you sound like Stormy Daniels now.
I believe everything I say about Trump. Trump is one lucky SOB. The only trial he's going to face before the election is this one up in New York, paying off a porn star to keep her quiet. And by the way, I think he's going to get off on that. I don't think he'll be found guilty. And by the way, I think that trial actually helps him. It makes me sick to my stomach, Mike, that Americans are going to vote in the 2024 election, and they're not going to know whether the guy who tried to overthrow the 2020 election was found guilty or not. Nothing is more important than that. Donald Trump tried to overthrow a damn American election. Period.
That's just what I'm saying.
And we're not going to get that trial before the election. It's horrible.
So, Joe, let me before you came on, we had a caller, a conservative call up from Colgate, Wisconsin, and it was lamenting the fact, you know, as soon as he turns on our station, we play on, oh, it doesn't take very long before we start talking about Trump. And I expressed similar thoughts that you had. I mean, this is about a guy trying to overthrow the government. That's a kind of a big deal. All the other things kind of fade away. And I asked him, what's your thought? What's your concern about, you know, January 6th? And finally got around after a couple of non-answers of saying, I wasn't worried about it. I'm not worried about it. Yeah. Joe, how do we accentuate? What's the talking point, do you think, for folks that think it's just NBD and just want to move on?
It's so fascinating, guys. And remember, right after I come from MAGA world, so I still talk to these folks all the time. Right after January 6th, there was like 4 or 5 days there where even Trump's hardest supporters told me, oh my God, Joe, this is bad. I mean, there was a window there where even they were like, oh my God. And then boom, that went away. And stupid Hannity said what he said. And Tucker Carlson said what he said. And then they all went down to Mar-a-Lago to kiss his ring. And then boom, forget about it. And so by now, 3 years later, the average Trump supporter thinks no big deal, or it was a good patriotic day. I'll tell you what, when you can engage in a real civil conversation with them, and I do, most of them privately will say, I wish it hadn't happened, but, and then they'll defend Trump.
Joe, I was at a Trump rally a week ago Wednesday, Waukesha, Wisconsin. And, you know, I talked to these people, and if they were standing behind me in this line at the grocery store, I think, hey, you know, nice guy, seems real nice. And then we delve into the politics. One of the guys there told me, very thoughtful guy, smart guy, worst insurrection ever. Why? Well, because it didn't work, because it wasn't successful, because Trump is not your president. That was his criticism of the insurrection of January 6th. Joe, I was not shocked because I've been to plenty of Trump rallies and seen the Trump crowds, but their enthusiasm is not waning. They've got their blinders on, they got their heads in the sand, and they believe one man only. If it doesn't come out of Trump's mouth, they don't believe it, Joe.
So let's shake up your audience. And I mean this. If the election were held tomorrow, Biden loses. No doubt about it. Electorally, Biden loses. He'll win the popular vote, that's clear. But electorally, Joe Biden will lose. That should scare every American who's concerned about our democracy. Look, guys, and you, the three of us will disagree on this. Because I come from the world of Trump supporters, I ain't never going to demean them. They've been fed a bunch of BS by right-wing media guys like me and Trump and other Republicans for years now. And it makes me sad because they're lied to constantly. Look, they got to assume responsibility for what they believe. But I spend a good part of my week trying to convert these people and get them to see the light. But Mike and Dom, I don't succeed with most of them. But every now and then I do. I'll never give up on them.
Joe, what about the grand old party? You know, I don't know what's what, it's MAGA. Is there an option for something different? Not the no labels, but is there, can something rise out of what was the Republican Party? Because it's MAGA party now. What do you think will happen 4 or 8 years down the line with the actual political party of the conservatives themselves?
So I think, Dom, it's a great question, man. It's my favorite question. I think this Republican Party is done. it will never go back to any kind of sort of thing that it was. It is on the MAGA track. It's going to stay there. And I think, by the way, it's going to shrink as a national party. I could see in the next 4 to 8 years, Dom, a center-center-right third party coming into existence. I really could.
Joe Walsh, got anything you want to plug, promote, sell anything, grifting in any way?
You got a Bible for sale, man? Here's some shoes?
No. Just, I love being, follow me on Twitter, @WalshFreedom. Otherwise, I love your show, guys. You guys are the best.
Hey, man, you got to follow us back, man. Devil's rate, Devil Radio.
Run. Yeah, consider right. that done. I'll follow you back, boys.
All right.
Joe Walsh, really appreciate the generosity of your time. Have a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day to yours. And the rest of you, stick around. More Devil's Advocates. The phones are open. Final grievances of the day, 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
Mother, tell your children not to walk my way.
And thank you for listening to the Devil Advocates Radio Show, the Mother's Day edition. Join us last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, Joe Walsh, former congressman, former Republican presidential candidate, friend of the Devil's Advocates. I hope you like them as much as I do. You know, we're radio dogs, Dom. Got that in common. 844. And we hate Donald Trump. I guess I'm just speaking for me, Joe, and Stormy. 844-967-2789. L.A. Tom from the leftist coast. Welcome back, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. I have a question for you guys. Why is it that there's so many people in Wisconsin that are so worried about the southern border when it's like 3,000 miles away from you?
You're talking about the guy from outside Germantown, where I suspect there's a lot of migrant labor that works on the dairy farms?
Yeah, exactly. Are they worried that their daughters may have a tryst and become pregnant by the house?
They're worried they're going to be diluted as white people. That's what Tucker Carlson's been telling them. The great replacement theory, Tom. We're opening the doors on all these Latino immigrants.
I mean, Trump talked about poisoning the blood, man. I mean, that's the kind of crazy ass Nazi talk that Trump was spewing just in December, dude. So when your cult leader tells you to be afraid, you better be afraid.
I think people need to start like taking a knife out and showing that we all bleed the same red blood, no matter who we are.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's amazing to me that this is a, you know, someone has more melanin than somebody else.
But I don't think, Tom, I'm not defending the MAGAs. But this is not all about skin pigmentation. I think there is certainly something happening at the southern border. We've seen way more immigration during the Biden administration than, granted, we saw under Donald Trump when they were taking the babies away from the mothers.
And also in the midst of a global pandemic.
And the stay in Mexico policy.
Right. I mean, there were many other variables.
But I do think it's short-sighted to look past the concerns of lots of Americans, because immigration is expressed as a concern not just by Republicans. Just so you know, it's not just one party saying it's a problem. If you poll Dems, there are a lot of Democrats that quietly acknowledge, yeah, I don't know if I like the quote-unquote uncontrolled borders. Of course, the nuance of the answer is a bipartisan bill in the U.S. Senate that could have gone through the House and helped to solve this problem was killed in part by Donald Trump. The rest of it was all the doing of the crazy House Republican caucus.
844-967-2789. A lot of people got problems with you today, Dom. They're lining up on the phones. William from Berlin. Welcome, William. What do you got for us?
Hey, William. I couldn't agree more. I just heard what you had said. And last night I attended a Democratic forum, or what you would say a forum.
Sure.
Is an informational thing about immigration. And
what was the mood of the room? What were people saying, William?
Let's see. We mostly listened to the speaker, and she's, I can't think of her name offhand, but it was like she just brought up statistics, like they're not going to kill you. Fentanyl usually comes across the border. And
William, I'm going to cut you a little bit short. I think I can maybe fill in a few of the blanks. There was a Democratic Party fundraiser last night. What county is Appleton in?
Outagamie County.
Outagamie County. I think it was there. The Outagamie County Dems had a fundraiser last night. I believe the speaker he might be speaking of was Sarah Godlewski, the Secretary of State. And I believe the Democrats are acknowledging this. That is, you know, a primarily rural county. I was just up there last weekend in Appleton with the Wisconsin Grassroots Network. 844-967-2789. Sorry to cut you short, William. Lots of people got grievances. Lisa from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us, Lisa?
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, guys. Happy Friday.
Thank you.
Good show. I love listening to you guys. I listen to you every day on my way home from work, and I have to listen. Anyway, well, Dave, just wanted to give you guys that plug and tell you guys you're doing a great job. Please don't stop. America needs to hear everything you're saying. But my point is, why in the heck do they believe every election that they win, but the ones that they lose, we stole it? If we were going to steal an election, we're going to steal the House and the Senate so that the votes come to us. People, hello, we would have got Mitch McConnell out of there a long time ago, if we had that power. And, you know, when he wins the primaries or he's 1 point ahead in all the polls, and then if he loses, that's the crazy MAGA. It's going to be, they stole it again. And we're going to be right back to where we came from. Praise God that Biden does win.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, Lisa, we'll see what we can do. We'll keep pounding the airwaves each and every day. Thank you to our fine guests, including my congressman, Mark Pocan, Joe Walsh, Radio Dog, former Republican congressman. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, including my wife and your wife, and your mother-in-law, and your mama, and Rich's mama. Everyone, have a great weekend. Dom and Crute off next week, unless something really crazy happens tonight. Yeah. Might just sneak in and do a show.